Next Wednesday is May the 1st. And so April is here over, and we are ready to rock and roll. Amen? And so I was praying actually a couple weeks ago. And the phrase came to me as I was praying about our leaders and I was praying about my ability to lead. The phrase came to me as I was praying in the Holy Ghost, leading with love. And the Spirit of God began to speak to me about how you lead with love. And he said this, he said, you cannot lead people who you do not love. And that is the issue with a lot of churches is, and a lot of denominations, is we have a lot of pastors that are pastoring in cities because their denomination sent them there and not because they love the people there. Amen. Because what will happen is you know, in your denomination or your affiliation, it happens in Moundville all the time. You know, they'll send you a pastor, and he'll stay there as long as he got to until he gets another opportunity somewhere else. You don't love the people there. You're there fulfilling a denominational assignment. You don't really have a love for the area that God sent you to. And I know, because I was not in a denomination, but I moved home. And you have to understand where I come from, because VLC is the first Pentecostal, Spirit-filled, non-denominational type church in Moundville. We were the first multiracial church in Hale County. Okay, at the first church, Melton, that I say that because Julie went to Melton when she was a kid. Amen. She's so young and everything. Praise God. But anyways, at Melton Community Church there in Sawyerville, when Pastor Wayne and Miss Debbie were pastoring there, they were the first multiracial church in that area. And the KKK showed up at the church one day and were unhappy that there were black people and white people. This was early 90s, but it was Alabama. I mean, you know, we still got some stuff that was lingering. I'm talking about in 1998 when Pastor Wayne and Miss Debbie started VLC in the storefront. They started in the storefront in downtown Moundville in what was the black pool hall, because there still was such a thing as pool halls. And not only was there pool halls, there was a white one and a black one. And we started renting the white one and turned it into the black one and started and turned it into a church. Amen. Amen. And so I was raised in when you are the first Spirit-filled church in an area, especially in an area like ours, the word snake handling gets thrown around. The word cult gets thrown around. And I'm the preacher's grandkid of that church. And I'm in school. And then in 2007, 2008, I'm 7 or 8 years old. And my dad gets a wild hair. He's going to run for mayor. And he's elected. And so for a great chunk of my childhood, my granddad was the Pentecostal preacher and my dad was the mayor. And you didn't go to school, if you were me and my sister, without hearing about your family. Because they were either talking about that Pentecostal church or they were talking about what the mayor was doing. I would go to school and find out stuff about my family I didn't even know. And so when we moved off to Bible college and we moved off to Rhema and we enjoyed our season, then we graduated and I had a lot of offers, or we had a lot of offers, to come to other churches and pastor or go to other places and be associate pastors, youth pastors, much larger churches. I've mentioned that one of them was in Tampa and the parsonage was a beach house. And so I'm like, man, this gotta be God. I mean, praying, fasting. I told her. I did. But wouldn't you want to live like a? I like looking at the beach. I don't like getting in the sand. It's too sandy. This is what I say about the beach, and I'm going to the beach. Well, this is what I say about the beach. You ready? Too sandy, too sunny, too salty. Okay, it's like it's the perfect storm. It's like you get in the water and a jellyfish wraps his like an anaconda around your leg, and then salt water gets in your eye, and then you come out of the salt water and all the sand sticks to you. You get pieces of sand places pieces of sand should never be. Okay, and you say, I'm just gonna sit on here all salty and sandy and relax, and you start to sweat because it's too hot. Yeah, and then day two, I get sunburnt because I'm hard-headed and don't use sunblock. So, but a beach house, a parsonage that is a beach house, I'm like, this got to be God. I know the Lord. Are you okay? Did I choke you? I know God, and I know that He'll do it for me. And what He did, I'm like, God, what you did for somebody else, do it for me too. And so I'm like, this is it. This got to be God. Prayed about it. Holy Ghost said, this ain't me. See, not every opportunity that comes your way is God. The enemy knows how to present opportunities your way too. And so people are like, well, the door just flew open. Well, you better be careful. Just you can't judge whether something is God or not by whether a door flies open. The devil knows how to open doors for you too. And people are like, well, yeah, I got a promotion at my job. That's so awesome. Yeah, the enemy just promoted you straight out of Sunday mornings because that promotion required you to work on Sundays. Amen. Amen. But it's a promotion. This has got to be God. God's bringing me into... No. Not all the time. Not every good thing is a God thing. And so anyways, Holy Ghost said it wasn't him, and we had all of these other opportunities, and the Lord began to deal with us. We weren't even going to move home yet. We had other things that we were planning to do there in Tulsa, and the Holy Ghost began to deal with us about moving back home. And for 6 months or maybe the greater part of a year, I pastored at a church in a town that I hated with people that I really didn't like either. And the ministry wasn't blessed. Now, don't get me wrong. God's people were blessed because they were God's people. But we couldn't grow the way God wanted us to grow. And I sought the Lord about it, and He said, I can't bless a ministry. You cannot lead people who you do not love. And so if you want a big ministry, you need to learn to love big, because your ministry will only reach as far as your ability to love the people that God puts in front of you. And so if you're going to lead, you must lead first, not with command, but with love. Because everybody wants to lead because they think that leadership means that I can say, do this, and people will do it. Now, leadership is what Jesus did when He got on His knees and He washed the disciples' feet. That's leadership. That's what leadership is. Leadership, I hope y'all don't mind me saying this. I'm not trying to brag on me. I'm trying to give you an example. But leadership is not when I say, hey, can somebody go grab me a water in worship, and somebody runs in my office and grabs me water. That looks fancy. Everybody wants to be the pastor and get free water, okay? You want one that bad, I'll give it to you, okay? But no, leadership is when church members call and say, we don't know what's wrong, we're going to the hospital, get the baby checked on. I'm like, I'll meet you there. That's leadership. And people want to lead, but they don't want to love. And so we can't even talk about what it means to be a leader till we start talking about how you're going to love people. And so turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 real quick. Not real quick, we're going to be there all night long. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read it in so many different translations, but I'm just going to start. There's a man named Henry Drummond, and I read a book that he wrote, and this is a quote that he says about the love of God. He says, the love of God, possession of it is the great secret of personal influence. Meaning, if you want to influence people, you just learn to love people. Amen. Amen. I mean, isn't that true? You voted for politicians that you felt like cared about you. Amen. And I don't nobody want to talk about politics, and I don't either. Okay, I don't either. But you supported pastors that you felt like cared about you. The way to gain influence with people is to love people. People do not care. Look, I know all kinds of stuff. People find out in School of the Word now. They're like, man, Pastor Josh actually knows what he's talking about. I'm like, yeah, I do. But anyways, I know a lot, but people genuinely do not care how much you know till they know how much you care. Nobody cares how many scriptures you can quote or how much Greek words you know or how many Hebrew words you know or what kind of secrets you know about the Bible or all this stuff until they know. When I call you, will you pick up the phone and will you answer me? I had a church member a few days ago call and say, hey, can I come over? I'm like, yeah. Now, I got to leave in an hour, but you come over and we'll sit for the next, just come sit with me for the next hour and we'll talk and talk and talk. Why? Because that's how you lead people, not just saying that you're leading people. Amen. Amen. And see, this breaks down into every, you cannot lead children unless you're laying your life down for your children. This is what Jesus said. He said, the way that I lead you is I lay my life down for you in the church. You cannot lead. And you say, well, yeah, Pastor, that's so good. Amen. Praise God. You're supposed, and everybody claps. Yeah, you're supposed to love people. You're supposed to be at the hospital all night long. That's you. That's you. No. You can't lead the young adults if you don't love the young adults. You can't lead the nursery babies if you don't love the nursery babies. You can't lead the joy group unless you love those old fogies, okay? I mean, just got to love them with all of your heart. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 13, let's go to the Word. Amen. I guess we'll just start it in the King James Version and see where what translations we go to from there. KJV, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. says charity, which is what the King James uses for the word love, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. You have known somebody that's puffed up. A lot of people who are leaders act puffed up. That's not love. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Amen. Some of what we were talking about Sunday, there's a certain way to behave yourself if you're loving people, if you're leading people. It does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. You ever know somebody that's easily provoked? I mean, it's like Bishop Medea said. It's like if they get me, I'm gonna get them back. Amen. And before I get God, I'm gonna get my Glock. Okay. That's what easily provoked. Easily provoked. That woman, all that woman said was that's my parking spot. And you could have let that little white woman have her parking spot, and she lifted the whole car up in the air and turned it upside down. I'm just saying, ain't that a testimony? Praise God. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Amen. Thinketh. Everybody say thinketh. Amen. Meaning you say, well, just if I don't say it, I can think it. Uh-uh. Love thinketh no evil. Amen. Well, I didn't say it, but she was thinking it. Praise the Lord. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Now, this is a quote I believe is going to hurt your heart, but it's okay. It'll hurt so good. Sometimes to get healed, you got to hurt for a second. Amen. Amen. I broke a bone one time when I was, it's a really funny story. I'm not going to tell it to you because it's embarrassing. But I broke a bone one time when I was a kid or a teenager, and I broke my leg. And the way it was broke, it was in a different spot. And so I went in, and the first thing the man did was grab my leg real hard. My leg hurt. It's broke. And he did this number. I ain't never been in so much pain. He said, now we can see if it's going to heal or if we'll need surgery. I said, well, why couldn't we just wait to see if it was going to heal in the first place? He said, I had to make sure it was set the right way. See, sometimes for God to come in and reset some things that are out of alignment, it hurts. It hurts. And there's a pain involved in God coming in and saying, uh-uh, you broke this in the wrong spot. We got to set it the right way. It's got to be set the right way. So sometimes you got to hurt so you can heal. Amen. Or else you'll heal the wrong way. And you'll be stiff and brittle towards people. Amen. Praise God. And so this quote is from Kenneth E. Hagin. It says this, anytime you are feeling mistreated, you know the devil is working on you. And how many times you're like, I'm feeling mistreated. They're not going to treat me that way. If they knew who I was, baby, we know your name, your last name, your middle name. We know who you are. But if they knew who I was, they not going to talk to me. I'm like, your head's going to fall off, love. It's going to fall slap off. But they're not going to talk. I'm not going to be treated that way. I know my worth. They're not going to walk up in that church and treat me that way. And the devil's working on you. Devil's working on you. Oh, my boss not going to talk to me that way. He knows I'm up here every day, and he not going to talk. I'm up here every day except for when I don't come in. And he know better than to talk to me that way. The devil's working on you. He's trying to get you over into a victim mentality, trying to get you to feel sorry for yourself. The enemy's working on you when you start to feel mistreated. Amen. Amen. We said that love starts in the thought life. Watch this. Mark Hankin says this. If you aren't thinking the way love thinketh, it won't be long before you are not acting the way love acteth. Meaning people will say, well, I ain't say it. No, but you thought it. Well, I ain't do nothing about it. No, but you thought about doing it. You thought about it. If you are not thinking the way love thinketh, it won't be long before you are not acting the way love acteth. That means that the love of God starts as a thought life issue. Amen. Everybody say, I love Pastor Josh. Woo! All right. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. In the Amplified Bible, it says this, love endures long, long. It endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. Amen. Leaders have to lead with love. Leaders that are conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. Amen. We can't be that way. It is not rude. There ain't no plainer English than that. Just don't be rude to folks. Just don't be rude or unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Ouch. Because how many times we've been in conversations? Well, I'm going to make sure I get my way. I'm going to make sure. I'm going to make sure that I know my rights, and I'm going to make sure I get my rights said, and I know my way. Amen. It doesn't insist on getting its own rights or getting its own way. Amen. See, we're not ready for this kind of love because, see, we even in 2024, somehow this eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth stuff has snuck into the church in 2024 because Jesus said, if they get you on one cheek, give them the other one. If they take your jacket, give them your shirt, your drawers, and everything else. Give it all to them. Whatever you want. You can have my shoes, my everything, whatever. That's what Jesus said. If they make you go 1 mile, go two. And in 2024, we've got this, well, if they get me, I'm going to get them back. I'm not going to start it, but I'm going to finish it. Amen. I said, if we're going to lead, we got to lead with love. We've got to learn to love people. It doesn't insist on its own rights or its own way. It is not self-seeking. It is not touchy. Y'all know what touchy is? You always upset about something.